I'm Carrie Brett, and this is Shot at Love. Today's guest is Caitlin Arner, the owner of Zelda and Friends, a dog concierge service that's perfect for you and your dog's lifestyle. In this week's episode, we will discuss the many ways your dog can boost your love life. Taking your dog for a stroll increases your chances of meeting others. There is also a new trend in alfresco dining called Yappy Hour. Did you know that you could let your dog play matchmaker by advertising yourself through your pet on sites such as datemypet.com, Leashes and Lovers, and Tindog, which is Tinder for dogs? Hook up for a play date at the dog park or meet up for coffee at a canine-friendly cafe. Dogs keep you in better shape, lift your mood, and are great at sniffing out suitors. Put up a photograph of you and your dog on a dating site will make you look more friendly, approachable, and attractive. Dating is a numbers game. Walking your pup in the park or sitting on a pet-friendly patio gives you more chance encounters. When we come back, we'll be talking all things fur babies, puppy love, and how to get a jump on the dog days of summer. You won't want to miss it, so stay tuned. After spending too many uninspired years in front of a computer, sitting at a desk, Caitlin had this crazy notion that maybe one day she could find a career that would make her happy, give her purpose, and be sustainable long term. Until one day, a friend wanted to pay her to watch her two new three-month-old puppies. Caitlin had grown up with dogs, adopted her own dog, Zelda, but never considered that this could be the absolute perfect path for her life to take. Caitlin had this incredible special bond with dogs and respects them and loves them if they are human. And she believes that every dog deserves the best care. Her goal wasn't to start a kennel or walk 20 dogs at once. She created a different experience for dog parents, the kind she would want for her dog. One where dogs are given personal attention in a way they would normally experience at home with their family. Today, Caitlin and I will be talking about how people are using dogs to fetch their soulmate and find love. Welcome, Caitlin.
Hi, Carrie. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for being here. This is going to be really special. I just recently photographed you, and the shoot took about 20 minutes, and then you were here for about an hour and a half talking about dogs and how much you love dogs. And I just couldn't believe it. You just started crying about a client and friend of mine's dog who had passed away. And I just thought to myself, this is such a caring person and such a special person that could be so, you know, devastated and feel so strongly for someone else's dog. And I started to think how my life has changed becoming a dog owner and how that's fostered my relationship, and how people are either they'll like someone or may potentially not like someone because they have a dog. So I thought this would be a really good episode. Tell me, when you were little, you had a dog and your parents got divorced, and this dog, Matilda, was part of the custody agreement. Tell me about this.
First, I was going to say, how dare you? You're going to make me cry right at the beginning of the episode. Well, Matilda was like my sister. We got her. My parents were still together. I was six, I believe. And so a year later, they got divorced, and she kind of was part of the custody battle. I mean, my dad got my brother and I and Matilda on Wednesdays and every other weekend, and she would come on vacations with us with my dad. She was just an amazing soul. People today that I talk about her to still cry as well when she comes up. And that to me indicates a special dog, but this dog was also so special to me. And it's a different relationship than we'll talk about later about where you have your own dog and you've raised them and they're like your child. She was like my sister. And I think she was a huge part of me growing up.
Well, I think it was smart of your parents to have wherever you went, the dog went as well. And that was a really nice way to help you navigate that as a child. And I got a dog at age 45. It was basically like a deal breaker in our relationship. my boyfriend is a huge dog lover, and I didn't grow up with dogs. And I never had one, and I never thought I would have one. And he became he really, early in our relationship, he kept saying to me at night, like, I know this is our home and I love you, but there's something that is really missing that's different than our love, and I really want a dog. And I was like, okay, I don't know how this is going to go, and I didn't know what to expect. And I was afraid of dogs. And about a day into having our dog, Charlotte, I became a crazy dog person. And I never saw that coming. And my parents saw such a huge change in me. They said, had we known how much this dog would bring so much love into your life and make you so happy, we would have gotten you a dog when you were alone and suffering. And I just think it's an important story because oftentimes people close themselves down to something that could enrich their lives so much and add expansive love. And so that's going to be kind of the theme, is what do dogs have to teach us? Like, what can dogs teach us? You studied abroad, you worked in corporate America, you worked in finance. What led you to find your passion and prompt you to start your own business taking care of dogs?
I've always loved dogs. Like you said, growing up with a dog, I think also teaches someone maturity and also unconditional love. Like, she was my friend when I didn't have anyone else and when I was being bullied. And so when I realized that I was not feeling fulfilled in a job that I knew I was doing very well at, I was promoted every year I was there. I was, you know, headhunted by another company. I just felt like something was missing. And my dog will be 11 this year, my older dog. I now have a 1.5-year-old foster failure as well, which for those of you that don't know means when you intend to foster a dog for someone else and you don't let them leave you. You know, I was one of those girls that wanted to be a veterinarian when I was little and then wasn't very good at science. It was not my strong suit. Like you said, majored in art history and English literature. I did not intend my path to go the way that it did. But when the opportunity came up to watch these two Great Dane puppies, who were then 30 pounds each at 3 months and are now 165 and 185 pounds,
wow,
whose owner is 90 pounds soaking wet, true wow. love there, I just knew it was meant to be. And I can't help having a business mind about things too. Obviously, if I could just hang out with dogs for free all the time, I would do that. I am the extreme here. I love dogs. And I just knew that I had a network and everyone loved dogs. And obviously now with the pandemic, even more people have dogs.
Right.
But I can't believe I hadn't thought of it before.
It's funny how life works out that way. Was finding a dog lover something that you wanted in a relationship? Like, was that a deal breaker? Like, it wasn't my relationship?
I think it's strange because you don't go into a relationship thinking, you know, either is my dog going to like this guy or, you know, will this guy like my dog? It's just my dogs are an extension of me. Like, they are my children. And it's the same way that you don't go in like, I'm only going to date guys over this height, right? Because then you're limiting everything. But what would happen, I found, is that I would keep an open mind and a guy would have a picture on a site that I was on with his dog, quote unquote, because it was not his dog. Or the guy that I went out with on a puppy play date with who was fostering dogs and just to go on dates with them. So I kind of started learning that this was a very important factor to me. Either, you know, it was never going to work if the guy that I was seeing didn't like my dog. And yes, there are circumstances that turn into the most amazing stories where you don't think you're a dog lover like you and you realize that something was missing all along. And it was Charlotte.
Right.
And I started realizing that, I mean, there's obviously the tool of using a puppy to pick up girls. Obviously, that works on me very well. But there's also the, you know, other side where some people are intimidated by certain breeds, and that can be an issue. But I found that if it wasn't working out between my dog and the guy, it wasn't happening.
Right. Because the dog is that barometer for what kind of person you're dealing with.
Yes.
Which is so interesting.
It really is.
They're
crazy.
So smart. Like, I noticed when Charlotte, like, if she has to be good, like, we have, like, something important that we have to do, she'll be good, you know? But
they're
if she
smart.
Can get away with it and it's okay for her,
to act up a little bit. She's still a puppy, but it's amazing when you need them, how much they rise up.
Well, and they're so smart that they go through phases where they're just trying to please you. And then they're like, my mind is developed. I'm going to push the limit a little bit and see what I can get away with my mom.
Right. I know. I it's like having a 2-year-old.
It really is.
It really is. And I think dating with a dog is the same in a sense as dating as a single parent, because you can't play around with your time. And it's like, I'm not wasting 6 hours on this date if I have to get home and someone has to take my dog.
Exactly.
So that's a whole other component that I never realized or thought about. So you've mentioned to me that you have some beautiful love stories that you've heard of or seen firsthand that, you know, where a person didn't get off to a great start with a dog, but then, you know, worked hard, and that's where like the real love shined through. Can you give me like an example of that?
I have one friend who told me a story about her, I believe it was her friend or her cousin, had a dog that was protective and aggressive, especially with men. And instead of running for the hills, her boyfriend, and I believe became her husband, was bitten 3 times by this dog and kept working at it because he knew this dog was just protecting her. He stayed, and they worked through it and ended up having an amazing family.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's nice.
It's like the extra step beyond just, you know, my stepfather being a cat person, and now my dog is his grandpuppy, and he is obsessed with her.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, you can tell a lot by someone how they are around a dog, and I always used to say, like, I thought I was a good person, but I had no training around dogs.
Well, and I think that's kind of part of the... Is the dog not getting along with the partner a deal breaker thing? Because you also can see how the person treats an animal. And I think that says a lot about the person in general, because if they can treat a dog with dismissal and anger and cruelty, how do you treat your peers?
Right.
And why would I want to be in a relationship with you?
It's true. And I used to think, so my boyfriend has this little dog, and he's blind. I mean, it's like this little tiny, he's 13. And he would jump up on me, and it would be like in the summer, and we were newly dating, and he would jump up on me and scratch my legs, and I would be like in tears. Because I would. And it was like ridiculous how tightly wound I was. That, like, the next time I went over to Scott's parents' house, they, like, put this little blind dog on a leash. And we laugh about it now. Because it was like, what is wrong with me?
It was just trying to, you know, figure you out by smell then. You know, I don't know. There's also stereotypes and stigma associated with small dogs being sassy. I mean, there's social media memes about there are no aggressive breeds. Number one, chihuahuas. Like, people, yeah. A, can be stereotype or typecast just by the dog they have. And also, I think certain dogs do also get a bad rep, but it happens.
Right. But it's just because I grew up, I never had a dog.
Well, and you didn't raise that dog. I mean, your boyfriend's dog was already, he had raised it. And
right.
You came into its life later.
Right.
So it's not the same as Charlotte.
That makes sense. So now there's been a rise in people getting dogs with the pandemic because they're alone, they're craving company during isolation. And so the big thing is purchasing the pandemic pup. What have you seen in dog trends during COVID?
Well, like you said, a lot of people got dogs. I mean, I do think it's great that people felt, you know, I think there's the, we're going to be home, we're going to have time to raise it. The kids are home too, or, you know, we're spending time here. It's not going to be alone or crated for too long if you decide to crate train. And what people didn't realize, I mean, obviously the company and the love that comes with that, but what people don't realize is that by being around all the time, the dog accommodates to that. And I've seen, you know, part of my job is socializing and exposing dogs to things that they might not be getting because they've been inside for a year. But I don't know, it's tough because I've seen older dogs also regress or get depressed when their owners are both gone then and there's no one in the house.
Right. We can't leave Charlotte now.
Socialization has kind of gone out the window for dogs a little bit too.
And people.
Well, yes.
So getting a dog can solidify a relationship. And I didn't realize this, but honestly, I think this is almost like a way to, if you're having trouble getting someone to move in, I think you should get a dog. Because it's like, I can't care for this dog all the time. You know, I always think about, like, how do you get certain people to, like, make a move? But when you get a dog, it moves things along in a positive way. And I never thought about that. I just thought, this is something that my boyfriend really wants. He's clearly unhappy about not having a dog. And I was just like, okay, here we are on Instagram with our new dog. But I didn't do it like...
I loved him.
I didn't think about that. But it does change the relationship and move things along in a positive way because the connection is built together around this dog. And, you know, I don't know, can you talk about, like, this life big step?
Well, I think it's kind of one of those things that's in the stereotypical, what, you know, get married, picket fence, 2.5 kids and a golden retriever. But especially with the way that society has changed and people getting married later or being in relationships long term without getting married, a dog is kind of a symbol of your commitment to someone without having a child. It's like a quasi-permanent thing, which is, right. I know, not, you know, the right thing to say, but... It does also, I mean, I know a story of a guy and a girl who were trying to get pregnant and were really struggling, and they got a dog because they felt like something was missing, and it didn't mean they weren't going to keep trying, but the focus on being shifted onto this dog and the love that it created with them, she ended up getting pregnant. I think that's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. Well, dogs heal.
They really do, and they've even done studies on, you know, You can read articles on both sides, whether, you know, it's dirty to have your dog in your bed, but they also lower blood pressure. The steady breathing helps you sleep.
Right.
And it helps build a bond with them.
You don't need a weighted blanket for anxiety. You can just...
I mean, I use both, weighted blanket and puppies. And my sleep story podcast.
Oh, that's so funny. A lot of people will stay in a relationship with a person because of a dog. Do you think that's a common thing for people to do?
I think it absolutely is. I mean, I'm trying to remind myself of what life was like pre-COVID because, you know, right now everything's all off. But I've had situations where I've stayed with a guy because I loved his dog so much, even though the relationship was clearly over at least 6 months prior to the end of it, really. But I've also stayed in relationships with guys who I knew my dog loved so much because that to me is... the ultimate thing, you know?
Right. It's like staying in a relationship or staying in a marriage until the kids go to college type of thing.
Yeah.
Well, dating with dogs is a different kind of animal. It's kind of like I said, dating a single parent. Do you think you should bring your dog in tow to weed people out who won't deal, like, as like a way to, like, this is all of me? Do you think that's too much?
I think the only reason that I think that might backfire is because if you're nervous on the date, your dog will be nervous.
Interesting.
And then may react to the person in a way that it wouldn't if you already had established connection with the other person.
Yeah. So when do you bring that dog into?
I think when you're ready to bring the person into your home, if you trust them enough to come into your home.
That's a good advice. Okay, so I'm going to talk about, switch the focus and talk about these dating sites that are like Tindog. And the term dog fishing is a newer dating app phrase related to the practice of using a dog in profile pictures to lure more matches and conversations with potential daters. Often, like you said, the dog doesn't even belong to the person pictured, and it's merely bait. How annoyed would you be if you got hooked in by a faux Fido?
I've had this happen to me where I was lured into a doggy play date at a dog park with a guy and his dog, who it then turned out was not his dog, it was a foster dog, and he flatly admitted to me on this date that he only fostered the dogs because girls liked them. So I'm over here like, well, so you don't actually care. You're not helping them because you care. You're helping them because you're trying to find a girlfriend. And to me, it's the kind of thing where I think a relationship is doomed from the start if, A, your dog really cannot, that's a red flag. If your dog really cannot learn to love your partner, then something is wrong. If your partner treats your dog poorly, that's a red flag to me. And I think, where was I going with this? No.
If they don't cry at the Sarah McLachlan dog commercial.
No, because I've met many men who are, you know, big, strong men and don't cry and have a Staffordshire Terrier. And one in particular I'm thinking of, when I told him about Blackie, he cried because he had met her and he knew her soul. But back to the guy who would do these dates because he was fostering dogs, you know, I felt totally duped. But it's not like dog fishing, just because now it's on these dating sites, is a new thing. Men have always used dogs to get girls.
I didn't know this, again, because I'm like, you know, later in life getting a dog. But a dog can help you make a great first impression and also increase the level of interest. And last night I was talking about this with my boyfriend, and he said, hands down, that if he, for whatever reason, became single, Charlotte would be his, in his words, ace up his sleeve.
At least he's admitting it.
And he said he would just sit on a bench at a dog park and wait for Charlotte to bring home the bacon. And I was like, I couldn't even believe how strongly he felt about that. But research has shown that women flock to men with dogs. In your experience with all your dog walking, do you find this to be true?
100%. But it also depends on the person and the dog, you know? I mean, I know it's a generalization to say that girls love puppies and, you know, guys love puppies, and a Doberman will attract a motorcycle guy, and a Corgi will attract English royalty. Like, who knows? It's kind of like, for me, small dogs I always thought were not really my jam, but now I have small dog clients who are some of my favorite friends.
Isn't that interesting?
It's crazy, because I also was stereotyping, but gosh, I just...
Yeah, you think, based on the photograph of, like, say, a small dog with a bigger guy, like, I don't know.
You can't help. It's like Venice Beach, right? You can't.
Yeah.
That's a turnoff to me.
It's so weird. I never would even think of these things. And I heard a story of a woman say that before she was dating a person who was a non-dog person, but in her mind, she was like, but they'll love my dog, and I'll turn them, you know, like.
That does happen, though.
It does happen.
I always say my 11-year-old, she's a slow burn. But that makes people way more attached to her once they get to know her.
A slow burn. Well,
she's not a lab that'll jump on you and love you immediately.
So when we first got Charlotte, one of my best friends, Kelly, has a dog, the same dog, and this was the dog we agreed to get, which was Charlotte. But my boyfriend made the mistake of going out to show property and left me at home with the puppy. And I was hysterical.
That's how I'd be with a baby.
And she had to come over. So Scott called Kelly. Kelly had to come over, and she just walked into my house, grabbed a dog, threw Charlotte in the car with her dog, and off they went. I don't even know where they went. I didn't care where they went. I was just like, I don't know how I can do this. I literally was like, I don't know if I can do this, but it was so new. And I had no idea that having a dog is exactly like having a child. It's so much work. And I was shocked at how much work. And I would many days be at a breaking point. And looking at him, like, I cannot believe I was so stupid to get roped into this. But it's like a child. You can't send them back. You know, it's just...
People do.
But it's really hard sometimes when you have a puppy that is a lot of work. Have you ever seen that, you know, relationships end because of a dog?
Yes, and I think that's a tough realization to come to, because personally, in my experience, I've seen many people go, you know, have relationships come and go because they didn't see from the beginning that, you know, if their dogs didn't get along, it was never going to move on to the next step of living together because, well, at least personally, if a guy was willing to give up his dog to be with me, that is a deal breaker. I don't want to be with you if you're going to give up your dog. But I also have a friend, if you will, who took the initiative to introduce his dog to my dog. And unfortunately, it didn't go great. But to me, that was the most amazing sign of a commitment to at least showing me that he cared by introducing our dogs. Because that also speaks to how he knew me.
So now this, I don't know anyone personally who's used Tin Dog, but I did download the app to like research it and everything. But I think I mean, me, when I was online dating, I would have tried anything, you know? So I probably would have got a dog or maybe would have been one of those people who pose with a dog. But Tin Dog allows users to build this profile, but the profile is you and your dog. And then you have to write vital stats about your furry friend, such as the dog's age and the personality traits. And I just think this is such an interesting thing. But basically the dog is matching you, or someone's matching with you because of you and your dog. So it's like a twofer.
It's interesting.
It's an interesting concept. I mean, do you think that someone who already shares your love for dogs will increase the chance for a real connection?
I guess what I would have to say about that is, having been around dogs my whole life, is just because you're telling things about each other's dogs and you're like, oh, they're the same size, they're the same age, they're going to be friends. That's like being like, you're blonde, he's blonde, you're going to be in a great relationship. Like, dogs freak out because of smells. You know, unneutered males are the most bullied at the park. You can never tell. It's kind of the same as people with pheromones, right? You don't know. You're not necessarily aware of it, but sometimes that's why there is chemistry between people. It's just biological.
So, but a dog does connect. So I have this story that just literally happened to me last night. I follow, like, sheepadoodles on Instagram, and I just look at their faces because my dog's so unique and the most gorgeous dog in the world. And her markings are so special that I found a dog, and I'll show you the picture at the end, that is could be Charlotte's twin. Scary. And I follow this dog, and the dog has a huge following. And finally I was like, I want to know who the parents are. Cause I'm like, I could really do some fun photography with them together. So last night I was like, who is this person? Oh, it turns out to be a famous person who I photographed.
Oh.
And I was like, this is crazy. So it like made me so drawn into this person that I've already met and photographed. And I'm going to have to reach out now because.
Well, and isn't that so funny? Because you weren't even a dog person. You were like, no dogs here.
I know. And it's like, I'm wearing a sheepadoodle mom t-shirt.
You're reaching out to who you thought was a stranger.
Right? But I like love this dog.
Yeah.
From Instagram. So. But there's a connection. I mean, it's not, you know, a love interest, but it's proven that, oh, this dog looks like mine or whatever. Mm-hmm.
It's like with human beings and babies, right?
It's true. I mean, I love babies, so I love all babies. But I was always like a baby person, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like my clients used to laugh. I would take their baby and I'd be like, please don't let me get, you know, give it back. And they're like, I think you're ready to have a baby, Carrie.
My clients will laugh because I show up at their door and the dog's like, bye, I'm gone, I'm going on vacation. And they're like, all right, I love you, I'll see you when you're back.
It's so good. Within 2 seconds of meeting you, I'm like, I don't let my dog go with anyone. And I'm like, I would leave my dog with you in a second.
And I cried.
Using this type of app like Tinder, Tin Dog, you can run the risk of liking the dog more than the man. Has this ever happened to you?
Absolutely. Well, and then you struggle with it internally because you're like, I'm in love with this creature. I can't leave it, him or her. But I can put up with this D-bag because I love this dog so much. And I mean, that's like I mentioned earlier, like I stayed in a relationship because I saw how much the guy loved my dog and I couldn't do that to him almost or her. It's just
it's crazy. Now, it's kind of funny because we're talking about the pros of having the dog in these dog people dating apps. But what if you don't choose the right photograph of the dog? Or like...
You have an ugly dog.
No. Yeah, like it totally could maybe not help you.
Well, and I mean, like you said, if it's like a faux, kind of like they don't even own the dog, or they're just using it as bait, or they don't... I mean, I know a guy who has two dogs, and I'm like, oh, great, he's cute, he's got two dogs. And then he literally said to me if one of them ever needed surgery, he'd put them down because he didn't want to spend the money.
And you're like...
So instantly...
You're like, this day's over.
I hate you. I'm full John Wick right now.
Wow. So what happens in real life when you, like you said, you met this guy and he had two dogs and you thought he was going to be great, and till he said something not so great. But what happens in real life when you do meet someone and the dogs don't like each other? Is it just done?
I've literally been in what I call a situationship for 5 years because of this. So I don't think that necessarily it's done, because you know, you try everything, and sometimes it's just an adjustment period. They do say there's the rule of threes for dogs to adjust: 3 days for the first period, 3 weeks for the next, and 3 months. So I think it's always worth trying, but if it really doesn't work and they're fighting and it's a dangerous situation, your relationship has an expiration date. For sure.
Wow. So the book Built for Friendliness by Brian Hare, he wrote that dogs and humans are built to be friendly, and we select individuals based on how friendly they are, that we actually use this as a tool in choosing a partner. I know that I felt that way. Like, the most important thing to me was finding someone who was nice and kind to me. I mean, I always joke, people are like, why didn't you put like millionaire? Like, it wasn't, but for me, it really was like, that was... And that was the number one, like, nice. And in your opinion, the dog is really like your best wingman, or I'm asking you, is this the best judge of character? Like, not your girlfriend, not your mom, but the dog.
Well, the dog has no preconceived notions or judgments or any ulterior motive for how they react. Certain smells, and it doesn't really have anything to do with the person. But I think in general, if a dog doesn't like someone, there's something iffy, especially if you trust this dog 100%, like I do with my older dog. My younger dog's a little more skittish. I call him a COVID baby, so his opinion doesn't matter to me right now. But my older dog really is a gauge, and I guess I would want to ask someone like you, would you wish you had had a dog sooner to kind of weed out the people who weren't empathetic or kind or respectful of life?
I just wish I had a dog sooner, because it just made me such a better, like, I don't think I was a bad person. I just have learned so much from her. And I have no idea how I ended up with this person who was such a dog lover, because he must have really liked me, because, you know, I didn't check all the boxes at all, but I did evolve, and I'm grateful for what Charlotte has taught me, and I'm grateful how much you've taught us about dogs and sharing your knowledge. Where can people find out more about you and Zelda and Friends?
Well, so I have a website. It's www.zeldaandfriends.com. And I have an Instagram, which is Zelda Friends, spelled ZeldaAnFriends. And definitely follow me if you want to see some cute dog pictures. I guess why I started my business, because I thought that all dogs deserved friends, but not all dogs are meant to be friends. And it's part of creating just a beautiful, loving life for myself and for these fur babies.
So nice. Well, I'm glad that you became my friend and you were able to share your story on Shot at Love.
Well, the funny thing is, I'm definitely the extreme, because if you find me on a dating site, all the dogs in the pictures will always be around. It's like having 10 kids. So that's a commitment, and that's the struggle that I have. But I am so happy to have been here and to talk about life and love and puppies with you.
Thanks. And for now, this week's Tinder tips, which are inspired by our favorite dog lover, Caitlin Arner. Number one, live in an unleashed state of mind. Be open to future possibilities and open your heart to love. Number two, so often we are closed
We crate ourselves in and don't take a chance on someone who could be perfect for you. Choose the person you date, not on looks, but on friendliness. Number 3, don't waste time. Make that move. Join an online dating site and go out and fetch your soulmate. I hope you found some of my tips helpful this week. This is what Shot at Love is here for, to help you find love. Keep up the commitment to yourself and commit to helping someone else by sharing this podcast. I want to thank FeedSpot for naming Shot at Love one of the best dating podcasts on the planet and a must follow in 2021. If you like this show, please subscribe and leave a 5-star review. I'm Carrie Brett, and we'll see you next time.